All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Chamber Link. I'm Shannon Full, the president and CEO of the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce. And today's conversation is a special one for me, as we have the opportunity to sit down with someone who has made a lasting impact on this region. I'm so honored to be joined today by Marilyn Guy. She's been named our 2026 Legacy Leader. For those of you that don't know this, the Chamber gives an award away for an impactful leader in our community, and this is the highest distinction. And this one in 2026, we're recognizing Marilyn Guy. Marilyn has dedicated more than five decades of her life to education and leadership, not only helping to shape institutions, but generations of students and professionals, community leaders here in our region. We are so privileged to have her with us today. Her career reflects a deep commitment to people, investing in their growth, championing opportunities, and strengthening connections between education and the broader community. Marilyn, it's definitely leaders like you who define what it means to leave a legacy here in our region. And we're grateful for your impact and excited to share more of your story with all of the listeners today. I'm also joined by our Executive Vice President, Catherine Grinberg, at the Chamber, who's going to help shine a little bit more light on when we are going to do this fabulous event and what it's going to look like as we recognize Marilyn with many of our friends and colleagues and community members. So, first of all, Marilyn, congratulations on the Legacy Leader. Tell a little bit, for the listeners, a little bit about your reaction and when we told you the great news of this award.
Well, thank you very much. I was so honored and so surprised by the award. I had lunch with you and with two other members of your committee, and it was just, I didn't know why I was being invited for lunch, and it was just wonderful, and I can't believe that you chose me when I look at the previous award winners. And I think of being the third woman to be chosen, and to think of following Margie Bailey and Judy Lee, I think that's just a tremendous honor to be in their company. And I look at all the other leaders that you have chosen, business leaders that you've chosen, and you've chosen two of my colleagues at Concordia, Paul Devery and Maury Lanning. And they both have been wonderful mentors to me throughout my life. And so it's just a wonderful honor, and I thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it was a wonderful lunch. I had a great opportunity to sit down with Marilyn, as she said, with two others, and I think the biggest takeaway for me was just the tremendous humble nature that you had when we gave this award. As you mentioned, the award has had those recipients have been from all different areas of expertise, walks of life, industry, some of it business industry, education, government. So it truly is a fabulous recognition. Talk a little bit, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. For those that don't know you, share a little bit just about you and your background and all of that.
Well, thank you. Well, I grew up in Bismarck, and I'm an only child, and so I always had very unconditional love for my parents. And my father is my role model, and my mother was a wonderful advocate for education because she was a teacher as well. And then I went to the University of North Dakota, and I had wonderful experiences at the University of North Dakota with wonderful, again, mentors and professors. My husband and I got married, and he was in the Navy. And so we ended up in New Orleans, and I taught at Loyola University. And then we came back to UND, and after I got a doctorate and he got his law degree, then we came to Fargo. And I immediately wanted to be at Concordia, and that's where I have spent my career. For a while at Concordia, then I was given a leave to serve as interim president at Oak Grove, and I really enjoyed that as well. But Concordia was a wonderful place to be because it always provided me with many opportunities to do other kinds of things other than just teaching at Concordia. I had different kinds of leadership positions within the college, and then also I was given time to do some international and national kinds of leadership things that I really enjoyed.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so exciting. And so when you think about that, I am sure you saw throughout your career numerous mentors that have helped shape and guide your life. So much of the work that the Chamber does is about you know, really lifting up leaders and raising them up. Talk a little bit about a mentor or two that had a significant impact on your life and in what area that was.
Well, certainly Paul Dovery and Maury Lanning that I mentioned to you before that are award winners as well were wonderful people at Concordia. And Paul Dovery taught me so many things about leadership, about being prepared, about being precise in terms of what you're doing, getting the data that you need to support a position that you wish to take. And Maury Lanning was wonderful in terms of always thinking about what's best for students, and he was the vice president for student affairs. And I remember taking students to him that had had some difficulties, and there were always rules and regulations and policies and whatever, but he always knew when a student needed a little grace, when they needed a kind of a kick in the pants, you might say, or when they really needed just guidance. And I just appreciated both of those men tremendously at Concordia. But I've also had good mentors in terms of in our church. Pastor Dave Johnson was a wonderful person, and he taught me a lot about transparency and what it is to always be open and provide information to the people that need it, in that case, the congregation that needs it. And he was wonderful. I was on the council, actually, the chair of the church council, when we built a second campus, the South Campus of Hope. And that was a very interesting time, and he was a wonderful mentor with that. I had mentors outside of this area, and that was very nice too, because then you could talk with them about things that were happening at your own institution, and they didn't have a, you know, kind of an insider's perspective. So that was very nice. And there was the dean at St. Cloud State that was a wonderful mentor to me. And then another man that had grown up in North Dakota and taught in Alexandria, but was now working in Washington, D.C. with some of the national organizations that I eventually became involved with. And he, too, helped me to kind of navigate being a different face, because most of the people at that time were men, and most of them were deans of large state universities. So I was a different face, and I had a different voice and a different set of experiences.
Well, definitely a true trailblazer, and we are, it's, for me, listening to that, the impacts of mentors is so significant in our lives, right? And I think that that's one thing we try to encourage with all of our young professional members, but I actually find that I get some of the greatest mentorship from those that I'm trying to mentor. I actually learn just as much, and I'm sure you see that very much in education all throughout your years. Let's shift a little bit, Catherine, to you, the award. So in the past, the Legacy Leader has been given away at the Chamber's annual celebration. The Chamber's made some pretty big shifts this year. Can you talk a little bit about where we're headed with that event?
Certainly, yes. We're very excited for the shift that we've made this year, being very responsive to our members in the community and what people are looking for. And that's where some of these shifts came from. But our annual celebration has transitioned to an annual meeting that we actually just finished up. Had a great conversation there with some business leaders, as well as Jeff Davidman from Delta. So more information on that you can find on the Chamber's website. But we've really taken that event and made it very business-centric, kind of what's going on at the Chamber, what's going on with the business landscape in our community, and then have taken the celebratory parts of it and have moved them to a new event as we retired Chamber Choice Awards and have put forth this new event called The Awards. And we've intentionally left it kind of vague and open as The Awards because it's really going to be that premier business celebration of the year, and kind of in an evening of excellence way. So we're thinking cocktail attire, entertainment, the award show, dinner, wine service, making it a really fun opportunity for business leaders, maybe their spouses, their friends, their colleagues at work to come out and celebrate amazing leaders like Marilyn and others that we're excited to shine a light on. So it's going to be a wonderful event. It's coming up May 7th in the evening and will be a great opportunity to honor the businesses and individuals in our community.
So Catherine, as we kind of transform this into, and I love it because I'm always about a little party and a celebration. And I also think that too often, we are too serious sometimes with business. We have to realize that business can be fun. It's an integral part of the entire community. And I'm really looking forward to some music and entertainment and camaraderie. But talk a little bit about what, first of all, where it will be held. And what are we thinking about? Is it a theme or just kind of black tie? Or I know people, that's the number one thing we get asked is, wait, what do I have to prepare for? How do I have to prepare for this?
Absolutely. So the event itself will be on May 7th. It will be at the Delta Hotel. So that's where we're going to take place. We'll be fitting a lot of people in there. There's a lot of people that are really excited about it. And as far as attire and what to expect, you'll have the opportunity, like I said, for kind of cocktails, kind of that social, and then go into an awards celebration and dinner, and then end with some entertainment as well. So what we're saying is cocktail attire, black and white, kind of that dress up and go out for the evening is admired, but not required. Perfect. So welcome to have people dress up and enjoy. But if you're running right from work, that is, of course, welcome as well.
Awesome. Can't wait. All right. When we come back, we'll be jumping into the extensive career and education that Marilyn has had and give you some more details about the awards. Coming right back. Welcome back to the Chamber Link. I'm Shannon Full with the Chamber and honored to have two guests with me today. First, our 2026 Legacy Leader, Marilyn Guy, is in the studio with me, as well as our Executive Vice President, Catherine Grinberg, here at the Chamber. So now, Marilyn, let's talk a little bit more. Again, congratulations on the award. Let's talk a little bit about your extensive career, one that is grounded and I would say highlighted in everything education. So your career was dedicated to education, spanning everything from elementary to higher education. What drew you to education? I always am fascinated by this. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she's already starting to talk about what she wants to do for a living. And a teacher is at the top of her list. And so what drew you in and what kept you in?
Well, I think what drew me in was my mother was a teacher, and so there were a lot of conversations around teaching at our dinner table, and I found that true, too, when I was teaching college students, is that those students who had a parent that was involved in education were more likely to be involved in education. So that would probably is what brought me into teaching, but what has kept me in teaching has been the students that I've had a chance to meet. And I think that when I look at myself compared to some of my friends, I think of the future as much more hopeful because I know all those wonderful young people that have been in education and have been so inspiring to the children that they teach. And I still keep in contact with a number of my former students. So that I think is wonderful. I think the other thing that has kept me in teaching is thinking about the really hard work that teachers do. And I've always tried to be an advocate for people who have worked, you might say, for me, but also all teachers, because I think that they need to have advocates, they need to have the support of the community, and I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about that, the advocating for education. I think oftentimes, you know, a new initiative that the Chamber has launched is the Center for Civic Engagement. We see a lot more of teachers now play multiple different roles in the classroom, right? And so when you think about advocating for teachers, talk a little bit about what does that look like to you?
Well, I think advocating for teachers is important because the teacher is sometimes the only stable person mm-hmm. in that child's life. And there may be a lot of things happening. There may be grandparents that are dying. There may be parents that have lost a job. There may be sibling rivalry kinds of things. There can be all kinds of things happening in the child's life. So that the teacher is oftentimes a very good and strong, consistent person in their life. And you see lots of stories of people saying that if it hadn't been for Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Mm-hmm. Smith or whatever mm-hmm. in the third grade, I wouldn't have done what I did. I wouldn't have finished school. So I think that's really important. And teachers today are not only teachers of content, but they're also helping students to become aware of their communities, what's the needs in their communities, so that students can learn to reach out to others. I think that's important, and also the fact that our communities are becoming more diverse, and so helping students to see the goodness and the fairness of all people that are attending their church. So I think teachers play a really an important role in that.
I love that. Yeah, I would say, you know, one of our greatest assets of this region, I believe, is our strong education system. We having moved here 5 years ago, it was something that was at the forefront of my mind when I thought about my children. When you think about young people in our community like Catherine, when the time comes that they have a family and raise it, education is a critical component of a decision making to stay here or to come here. Talk to me a little bit about what you feel are some of the greatest attributes and assets of our education system here locally. Like what do we see, or what are some differentiators for us?
I think there's a lot of activity at the college level in terms of helping students go out into the community, whether it's internships or other kinds of ways. Teachers have always had student teaching, and nursing components have always had the clinical component of their programs. But you see that happening in business. You see that happening in a lot of different areas. And also you see the K-12 students participate in things like, for instance, the Berry Foundation has the PAY program, and that has students identify a mission, and then they find the nonprofits in the area that fulfill that mission. And then the high school students get a chance to visit those nonprofits and then distribute money to those nonprofits. So I think that reaching out in our community is one of the important things. I think also the quality of education is important. And we have students from high school that go to colleges all over the country, all over the world, actually. And what always comes back is how well they're prepared. So, you know, the quality of the education is very good. And then I think we have teachers that are so committed to their students. And just the other day, after receiving this award, I received a note from a teacher that my children had. And she was just very complimentary, of course, of my children, but also saying something nice about her, you know, the children's parents. So, you know, not many places that you go would you have those kinds of comments coming back and forth between the teacher and families, and in this case, you know, a long time ago that my children had this particular teacher.
Sure. And that level of commitment, I agree with you on all of those aspects. In addition to that, this is a community where the business leaders are also very committed to showing up to help groom and shape the future talent, right? The future workforce, those internships and experiences that you talk so much about. It's why we have such a strong workforce division at the Chamber, why we're so committed to really working alongside our K-12 administrators, teachers, faculty member, or administration, and then also our five colleges, all of their faculties, on how we can do more connection to the business community. We know that a little plug, in April, the Chamber's going to do a career-based learning event, a work-based learning event, where we're going to really challenge our industry leaders to step up and provide even more opportunities, because we're going to set some pretty big goals that we could try to get more and more students engaged and involved in experiential learning. We know that forms relationships and it helps them stay in the region, which is so critical. So aside from education, you've contributed significantly in the civic and philanthropic landscape of the community. Tell us a little bit about your viewpoint on stewardship and what that means to you.
Well, I think stewardship is not only the caring for the financial gifts that you share within the community, but also your time. And I've served on a number of different boards of nonprofits, and I've really enjoyed that very much. I've also served as a consultant to a lot of nonprofits, both here in this area as well as across the United States. in particularly with churches and with schools, private schools. And I think that's so important to be able to share. And I always approach those positions as I'm bringing one voice and I'm there to listen to the voices of others. And when you talk about community leaders becoming involved, I think that's so important to serve on boards, mm-hmm. to share the experiences that you have, and always come prepared for listening as well as prepared for giving from your own background. So I've really enjoyed that. I've always, when I serve on these boards, I always think of being an advocate again for children, because that's my greatest desire and my greatest joy is seeing children have opportunities. So whether it was with the Fargo Dome and choosing, looking at the different kind of programming that was there, I always wanted to be sure that there was something there that children and families would enjoy. And the same thing is true with serving at Oak Grove. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be sure that students were having an opportunity that maybe was different from what they would get in the public schools, but not in any way diminishing quality or commitment or any of those kinds of things, but being an alternative way for students to be able to express their faith in their learning as well as to be learning the content area. So that's been my joy. And the same thing is true with our church, mm-hmm. or with even with Sanford when I served on their board, to be sure that we were looking at what's best for children, what's best for families.
Yeah, and so you mentioned that you've served on numerous different boards. The one voice that you bring, but it adds to the collective voice. As we think about this event, Catherine, we're really focusing on shining a light on companies as well, right? Not how these companies are showing up in the community, what they're doing to kind of be above and beyond their normal day-to-day business. Talk mm-hmm. a little bit about what we can expect on May 7th when we do the awards. Almost, I think of it like the Academy Awards, right? when we do the awards, talk a little bit about the business aspect of this.
Yeah, business is obviously so foundational to the Chamber's work and engaging businesses of all sizes, all different industries. And I just love to hear the passion that Marilyn has for students and education. And I think that I see that passion in a lot of our business leaders in the areas that they serve and the things that they do. And I think that's really exciting and worth celebrating, which is what we're going to do on May 7th at the awards. So we'll be having a celebration of a few different business awards. There'll be four of them and then one that's community choice. And I will tell you, these businesses have been already working very hard. They were nominated to apply, and then they worked on an application, sent that in. And then we have an independent panel of judges that's working on picking who the top three are going to be. And we'll be announcing those actually shortly. So keep your eyes out for the top three in each of these award categories. And then, of course, at the actual event is when we'll be awarding the individual or the company that receives that. So really looking for best of the best in business. We'll be having a Business of the Year Award, a Small Business of the Year Award, an Emerging Business of the Year Award, Nonprofit of the Year, and then our Community Choice, of course, where we invite the public to weigh in on their favorite business as well. So it's great to see in the applications, like you said, Shannon, all of the things that these businesses are doing to go on above and beyond, whether it's, you know, with their employees and making sure that it's a great culture and workplace, or whether it's giving back to the community, you know, and kind of that future leader's mindset with the work-based mm-hmm. learning and how they're ramping up some of those opportunities for students. So it's really cool to see how all these businesses are doing it in their own regard, similar to what you talked about in education. And like I said, where each of them find their passion areas and how they can serve the community. So I am very excited to have the top three announced in each of those and recognize kind of the winners at that event.
Yeah, one of my favorite aspects is the stories of every one of these businesses mm-hmm. and how different they are, but they all have a tremendous amount of passion. So we'll come right back. We'll be back in just a minute to chat more about leadership in general and some of the individual values that Marilyn brings to the table with this award. Be right back. Welcome back to the Chamber Link. Shannon Full here with the Chamber. I have my Executive Vice President, Catherine Grinberg, from the Chamber with us, and our 2026 Legacy Leader, Marilyn Guy. We're so excited to continue our conversation. I'm going to start now with Catherine. We're talking about the awards, which is where Marilyn will receive her great distinction, but numerous other awards will be given. We are jazzing it up a little bit and moving it to an evening event, very celebratory in nature. Think of Academy Awards, Evening of Distinction, Evening of Excellence type thing for our business leaders and our businesses in the region. We left the break talking about, and we're going to lean into a little bit more about leadership in general, very individual characteristics of this. Catherine, talk about a new aspect, a new recognition that we're going to have during this awards session on May 7th.
Certainly. And this might be one of the things that I'm most excited and passionate about within this new format of our event, the awards that's coming up on May 7th. We've traditionally celebrated businesses and their excellence and what they're doing. But this year when we were sitting down and brainstorming and talking to some of our stakeholders, we realized we sometimes don't shine enough of a light on the people behind those businesses, the leaders that are working day in and out to make these things happen, make these businesses propel forward and the success of the region. And so we really put our heads together with some of our members and stakeholders and internal staff to say, what would that look like if we put a light more and highlighted who these leaders are? And so we broke it into a couple categories that I'm really excited to see how this goes this year and build on it in future years. Our first category, which I think we've talked a little bit about kind of the importance of, is our rising leaders. So we'll be honoring several rising leaders in our community and think kind of the young professionals, younger in their leadership journey, that are demonstrating initiative and professional growth and opportunity within their companies and in their community overall. And these individuals were recognized by someone in the community, whether it was, you know, a coworker, a boss, a friend, someone recognized that leadership in them and nominated them for this award. So very excited to celebrate those young professionals that are stepping up and leading in our communities. And then the other award that we'll be honoring is our distinguished leaders. And our distinguished leaders, think those that are in the thick of it. They're leading every day. They're making a difference in their companies. They're maybe mentoring someone that is one of those rising leaders. They're making a difference. They're maybe not quite to the legacy leader, right? They have some of their career left that they're still going to make impact. But we want to shine a light on those individuals that are really making an impact in our community today. So we're excited to share and kind of highlight a couple individuals in both of those categories, honoring them. And then, of course, the culmination of the event, which has been a staple for us, is our legacy leader and no one more deserving. So very excited to have Marilyn there and be able to celebrate her that evening as well.
Yeah, so we'll be able to hear a little bit about each of those leaders, a lot more about Marilyn. I'm so excited about that. So when we think about leadership, Marilyn, your colleagues describe you as a bright light and a true gem. So we already know that, but how would you describe your leadership style?
Well, I think I would describe my leadership style as being team connected. And I think that's so important. I think it's so important to hear the different voices that are within a group. I remember when I first started at Concordia, there was a gentleman that was four generations older than I was. And I learned just a lot from him, even though he and I oftentimes thought differently about different issues. And so I think that's very important. I think also the fact that you're celebrating rising leaders is just wonderful, because I think that so oftentimes people don't see the potential that they have in themselves, and someone else sees that. And I think I'm a beneficiary of that, because I think people saw something in me that I didn't recognize. I wouldn't have thought to do something had someone not encouraged me to do that. And a part of that also then is being there when you have a failure and providing the understanding that things happen in people's careers or lives or decisions that they make. So I think that that's very important for the dedicated group that you have, and for also the more senior people in that organization. So that's always been important to me in my career, trying to be a supportive person, whether, again, it's in my family or it's in a professional area or in a nonprofit that I've worked with.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much, the aspects of diverse perspectives, right? And that that diversity of thought is what makes this region, I would say this country, what it is, right? And so I love that part so much. And then really when we think about those true characteristics of leadership and and how we bring all of those together. I think it's going to be a very difficult decision to award our rising leaders and our distinguished leaders. We've received a lot of nominations, not because they are not nominations that come to us self-nominated. It's people that are nominated because they are doing great things, and oftentimes they don't even realize the impact that they're having. I would say that's probably, not probably, it's one of the things that we've heard so much about your leadership, is just that humility and grace that you have, not even realizing, even when we told you that you were going to receive the award, you know, you I remember you saying, I think you made a mistake, and you clearly didn't. Talk a little bit about, you've spent your life here in this region. What makes this region so special as it relates to your engagement and involvement in the region?
Well, this Fargo-Moorhead area has been just wonderful to be in. And I think it is somewhat because of the colleges that are here, because they bring such a variety of people and opportunities to enjoy. And I think also the fact that you see the number of nonprofits that are here, and people in the nonprofits are always seeing someone who's being left out in some way. And so I just think that commitment to trying to include everyone in the community is wonderful. I think I've always been in a private college, in a church-related private college, or at Oak Grove, for instance, and I've been very active in our church. So again, I think that the respect for different kinds of religion in our world is important. A number of years ago, I was awarded the Robert Feder Humanitarian Award from the Temple Beth El. And that was really nice, too, to see that, you know, we are inclusive of religion and the differences in religion, and I very much appreciate that. So I those are some of the things that I think are wonderful for this community.
I love it. So you think about what the region has given you and how you've helped to shape it. What excites you most about the future of this region?
Well, I think that's a wonderful, again, I think about these teachers that I have known and think about how well they're preparing people for the future. I think that's one of the most important things. I think that there's just a lot of excitement in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and you see that in terms of looking at new kinds of things to be involved in, and our business community is very active. For instance, I walk a lot at the mall, and you see the different businesses that are coming into the mall, and you see what a beautiful place that is to identify art, and you don't see that in some other malls as you shop throughout the area. And so I think that just seeing the innovativeness, the creativeness, the desire to uplift kinds of activities that people are doing, interests, openness to new ideas. I go to the TEDx events, and you see all kinds of innovative kinds of things happening there too, and thinking, you know, some of them are not going to succeed, but you know that many of them will. And the fact that one is brought before the community inspires others to try other kinds of things.
Well, and we have so many passionate organizations working towards advancing the future of the region. We truly are blessed with the level of collaboration that happens here in the region. And TEDx is also one of my absolute favorites. I think what an asset it is that we have that here. So we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit about some lessons learned and some advice going forward from Marilyn Guy. And we'll wrap it up, tie a bow on it for the awards coming up on May 7th. We'll be right back with you. All right, welcome back to the Chamber Link. This is Shannon Full, the president of the Chamber, joined by two dynamic guests, Marilyn Guy, our 2026 Legacy Leader, and our Executive Vice President at the Chamber, Catherine Grinberg. So now we'll jump in, Marilyn, in our final piece. You've shared with us a little bit about your background, your career, the region, and the importance of education here. Let's talk a little bit about advice. I think it's always interesting because as an educator, I think you lean into advice, not just learning, but advice on a daily basis. But for the listeners out there, what advice do you give to an emerging leader or a young professional within our region?
Well, I think that's always hard in terms of advice. I rather think of it as walking alongside of someone. And I think that...
Again, a true teacher answer. So yes, okay.
And I don't think that there's usually one way to do something. And so I think that if you can always, for a young person that's looking to leadership, reach out to many people and to share their, ask for their advice. Sometimes I think young people don't ask people that are experienced for advice because they think that it's kind of a waste of time. But that's the greatest honor that a person can have who's spent their career in any area is to have a young person ask them. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage every young person that's interested in a career in any area to ask and to reach out. So that would be my advice to them. My advice to the person who's walking alongside would be to really think about what this student or this child or this adult has that you see as a potential in them, what kinds of skills they bring, what kinds of experience they bring, and then help them to recognize that in themselves. I think that that's very important. When I've been involved in as a leader of an organization, I think the other thing that's important to realize too there is looking at always what's going to sustain that organization over a long period of time. And sometimes that means that you look at what do you do when you don't have enough money? And any organization, any business has been in that situation. How do you make decisions of how to use the money that's going to sustain that organization into the future? Another issue that oftentimes comes up is you've developed a friendship with one of your colleagues or one of your employees, and you've discovered that that person isn't in the right place at the right time. And so how do you deal with that person, helping them to refocus their career maybe, but also to give them the dignity of recognizing the work and the contributions that they have made? So I think those are a couple of things that I would suggest in terms of thoughts.
Oh, I love it. I resonate so much with so many of those. You know, we talk a lot with our young professionals about a mentor needs to be asked to be mentored. Like if you want a mentor, you need to have the courage to go out and ask and make it be a specific ask, right? And then when asked, when you are that mentor, really give thought to, do you have the capacity and the ability to truly serve? Because that's a commitment and a responsibility. When somebody gets the courage up to ask you, you owe it to them to give them an answer that's honest and true, and you can do that. The sustainability side of things, I think about that often as a nonprofit leader as well. We think about the decisions we make either set us up for success in the future and a sustainability aspect, or put us in challenging. And leadership truly isn't about when everything is going right, right? True leadership is the actions that happen in the face of adversity. And I think that's so true. So when you think about aspects of, you know, you're doing the day-to-day and you're running a million miles an hour, you're head down, focused on the things that are important to you, what are some of the things within your career or that you see often that get overlooked, that maybe inadvertently get overlooked, that maybe you need to take time and step back and pause and relook at aspects of that? Anything that you would think about in your career that was overlooked or maybe taken for granted?
Yes. Well, I think we're seeing more people talk about balance of career and personal life. And I think that was something that, you know, I always said that over a six-month period, I probably had fairly good balance, but probably not on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's important for any person to do, because you can't give what you don't have within yourself. And so I think that's important. I think another thing that I oftentimes said to my student teachers is that no child will learn until they know that their teacher loves them. And so I think the fact that the person that's the teacher or the leader or of the organization or whatever always needs to let people that are with them know how much that they care about them as a person. Mm-hmm. It's not just what you're doing in that organization, but it's what's happening in their daily lives. And so I think that's probably very important. And sometimes I think we don't have enough time to do that. I've just been reading through a lot of notes and things that I have received in the past, and it's always so wonderful to get that realization that in most of the organizations that I was in and involved in, people cared about each other. Mm. And I think that's so important in terms of a leadership. I think it's important for us to remember that, mm-hmm. that everyone we're working with or in some way is dealing with some issues in their own lives, and we need to be open to that and understand that and show appreciation and empathy for it.
Oh, so well said, and I think true, right? Every human, all you want is to be valued, right? You want to be valued, appreciated, and loved, and at the end of the day, if you could take a moment of your day to acknowledge that in somebody else, man, it goes a long way. Mm. So as we are wrapping up, Marilyn, tell me, tell all of our listeners, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, I think that's a hard thing to say because you don't know always how you have impacted people in any way. And I guess I think of my legacy with my children. I have a son and a daughter, and then I have four wonderful grandchildren. And I oftentimes see this quote that if anyone who says no one is perfect has never had granddaughters. And so I would hope that my granddaughters would look at me and say there was a woman who tried her best in each of the things that she had engaged in, and that she reached beyond her own life and tried to impact the lives of others. So if they could see that, I would be very, very pleased. And I just think that there's so many ways to do that. It doesn't have to be in education. It can be in any area. But I think always looking out, trying to reach other people, to help them where you can, to walk alongside them where you can, and to provide being a role model for some of the values that are important.
Wow. Sounds like one pretty amazing legacy. Mm-hmm. Marilyn, we are so honored and blessed that you joined us, that you've made the impact that you have on our community. Thank you for sharing your story, your perspective, your wisdom that you've gained throughout your career. It is no doubt that the legacy leader, we made the right choice in choosing you as our 2026 legacy leader. As we are finally wrapping up, I would really invite you to join us. Join us for an evening of excellence to celebrate businesses and individual leaders. Catherine, tell us again just a little bit about the awards on May 7th.
Absolutely. So excited to be able to honor Marilyn at that event with the Legacy Leader Award. The awards will be on May 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Delta Hotels. You can get tickets or purchase a full table for you and others to come celebrate alongside us. You can find all that information on our website or reach out to us directly, but we're really looking forward to an evening of excellence where we can honor and celebrate the businesses in our region that are moving us forward, as well as the rising and distinguished leaders that are behind each of those businesses, and then, of course, the culmination of the evening with our legacy leader. So please join us. We'd love to have you there. Individual tickets or tables still available to purchase, and it'll be an evening to remember, a celebratory, fun night to come out for.
I can't wait. If you want more information, you can always check out our website, fmwfchamber.com. May 7th at the Delta. Please join us. Invite your friends, your colleagues. Talk about this fabulous event coming up. Bring your spouses if you want. I will bring mine. No. We would even say even invite your enemies. No, invite everybody. We really are looking forward to packing the house at the Delta and celebrating some great leadership in our community. Once again, thank you for joining us for the Chamber Link. Shannon Full, President of the Chamber, signing off. We look forward to you for our next Chamber Link episode.